Attention. Attention all project managers. Are you struggling to navigate the complex world of human dynamics in your projects? Maybe you're like me. You may find yourself constantly putting out fires, dealing with interpersonal conflicts instead of actually focus on what matters, delivering results. But what if I told you that mastering the human side of project management is truly the key to unlocking your team's full potential and achieving project success? In today's episode, we will discuss real-world strategies, or like I like to say, what my mentor taught me, is pragmatic strategies that will transform the way you lead and manage your team. But there's one thing. It's not about the tools. It's definitely not about the technique. It is really about the mindset and the approach. It's about understanding what truly drives and motivates people and how to create an environment where they can thrive. So if you're ready, I'm ready to take you to the next level in your project management skills. And also, if you're ready to become a really true leader of your project, you really truly deserve to listen to today's episode. If you're new to the episode, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, if you're not aware, my goal, my mission today is to unpack today's episode. So as you guys know, family, one of the biggest challenges is that when you lead, when you make a decision to jump into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you have to have the ability to work with people. People can be very interesting, family, whether good, bad, judged. It's always a challenge. And one of the things I've learned is sometimes we can get, we can walk away from the humanistic aspect of things, and focus on of the technical, or I should say more of the techniques than anything. And the techniques and tools are important, but understanding people and connecting with people are really what's going to get your project through. So I share that with you, family, to step into our first point. Point number one, and you guys always hear me talk about it through countless episodes, establish a mentoring program. Listen, one of the things I always recommend is pair experienced team members with the less experienced ones so they could provide. This is really an even exchange, and sometimes people don't even understand it, because now you have a new set of eyes that are looking at problems or looking at ways to solve problems differently than someone with experience. Because many times people with a lot of experience, they may get caught up in their experiences and saying, well, this is what we did before and it worked, but it may not be applicable now. So having someone with less experience may look at a different approach of solving that particular issue. Also, one of the things I would recommend, if you decide to get a mentor, is define clear goals and expectations for each mentor relationship, and provide the resource as well as structure to support an effective mentoring program. One of the things I want to recommend to you, family, is here's I'll call it almost not really a shameless plug, but my mentor is actually having an agile type experience. I think you guys should definitely come. I'll put it in the comments as well as in the community so you guys can check it out. It is this Saturday. It's actually a real simulation. I really think this would be good if you're someone that wants to understand Agile, understand Scrum, XP, those type of things. This would be for you. Let me get into point number two. Understand the boundaries. Listen, one of the things I feel that what happens is that project managers, especially exceptional project managers, they can fall prey to being misused. Listen, we're all going to be used in life, but there's a difference between being used and misused. When you are misused, when you are willing to collaborate, when you are willing to assist, when you are willing to give more than you are getting, and then all of a sudden you are being misused because now they're putting all the work on you and you're doing it thinking you're helping and they're not doing their part to participate. So be careful. And when I say ensure that you set boundaries with your stakeholders so it doesn't create a false sense of expectation. Let's move on to point number three. Message. If you're new to this episode, if you're new to listening to me, anytime I say message, This is something you want to lock in. This is something you want to pay attention to. I understand the rest of the content is great, but this point right here is very exceptional. So I recommend creating a sense of urgency. What's a sense of urgency? The ability to act now. Stop being on a meeting with the people that you need to have for a meeting or a discussion. And then you say, hey, how about we set up a meeting? No, how about we answer? How about we take care of it now? Create a sense of urgency now, now, now. Why you do that? You're going to run circles around project managers that want to set up a meeting, to set up another meeting, because you've already discovered the answer and you've been able to take the answer and execute on the particular answer that you got. So again, family, create a sense of urgency. Point number four, host project town hall meetings. I miss these. I used to see these a lot when I was coming up in a project management. This is why I put it in here as a recommendation is that town hall meetings really encourage an open communication and transparency. One of the ways we used to use town hall meetings is that it would be more of an exchange of lessons learned and sometimes even difficult stakeholders that we would have to work with that would not be willing to collaborate and cooperate. So we had to find ways of, people would share their ways of how they were able to work with certain stakeholders. And my actionable tip would be hold regular town hall meetings where team members can ask questions and share feedback with leadership. And also one of my favorite thing is create a anonymous question submission tool. Basically, so this way everyone's voice is being heard. And some of the questions people may not like, but that is the best way because a lot of times, sometimes people won't speak up. And they just deal with it and move on. But that is not feasible because you end up losing your great resources because they just finally say, hey, what's the point of even speaking up? Either they're not going to listen or they're already thinking of an answer how to beat down recommendation already. So I might as well not even say anything and just continue doing. And this is how you lose exceptional project managers and just basically exceptional stakeholders as well. Let's move on to point number five. Implement time blocking for deep work. This is my classic. This is one of the things that I love doing. I love putting, blocking my calendar so I can focus and keep the main thing the main thing. Yes, I know for all my people that can multitask, salute to you. But for me, I don't want to claim I can multitask. I used to think I could, but I realized when I focus on one thing at a time, knock that thing out. I'm not spread out across four or five different things that don't even end up getting finished anyway. So why not just work on the first thing, move to the next, and just move there. So time blocking enhances focus and productivity. Here's my actionable tip for you, family. Allocate specific blocks of time for focused work on key tasks and minimize interruptions. One of the things I always share with you, family, in most of the episodes, if you have an iPhone, put your phone in do not disturb. If you have an Android, put it in airplane mode or whatever the do not disturb functionality that they have. But I definitely recommend that because there could just be a link. It could be this episode that is showing up in your feed, which of course I want you to watch this episode. Listen to this episode. But again, I want to ensure that you are having deep work. Like if you're locked into this episode, be locked in and get this information and then go use it. But if you're working on something, then work on it. Be, as they say, be where you need to be, where you need to be. Maybe you catch what I said there. Point number six, celebrate project milestones and success. Identify and communicate key project milestones and success criteria to the team and stakeholder. Plan and execute celebrations or recognition events when miles achieved or the project is successful completed. Listen, I'm going to be very transparent with you. Probably about 5-6 years ago, the budgets for projects used to be amazing where you could build this in your budget. Now, sometimes I've noticed that project managers are either coming out their own pocket to support and just really to identify these particular successes as with regards to celebrating. So if you're a project manager that comes out their own pocket, I salute you. And when I mean coming out your own pocket, meaning buying the food, the recognition, just the different celebrations. Let's move on to point number seven. Foster a culture of psychological safety. Listen, family, if you can't get your team members to speak up, then we haven't created a safe enough environment. And that may mean that you may need to meet with that person or that stakeholder one-on-one, because you want to encourage team members to speak up, ask questions, challenge assumptions without a fear of negative consequences. I think we've created a culture where when you make a mistake, it's we instead of making it temporary, we make it permanent. And permanent means you can't come back from it. So I truly believe that being able to create an environment that really challenges assumptions, that allow team members to speak up, it really creates people to feel more vulnerable, and it opens everyone else to understand there's a learning opportunity in what we're talking about here. All right, let's move on to point number eight. Point number eight, implement stand-up meetings. What are stand-up meetings? Basically, holding a quick brief, I say no more than 15 minutes, especially if you have a high priority project, daily meetings where each team member can share their progress plans and any blockers. As you guys know, I got this concept from the framework of Scrum. And what this does is just uses time to say, hey, what are you working on today? What did you work on yesterday? What are any impediments or blockers in your way? Let's find out a quick solution. Not a quick solution, but I could take this offline with you if it's a deeper dive that is actually required. And plus, this just keeps the meetings focused and time boxed, which allows to maintain efficiency. And my bonus for you guys today is lead by example. Model the behaviors and attitudes you expect from your team. I see so many, I don't even know if I should say this, but we're family, so I'll share it. I've seen some project managers with some really bad attitudes, and then you see their team and they have the same thing. So you don't know if it's the team that's doing this, or I should say the stakeholders, or is it the project manager? So model the behaviors and attitudes you expect team and demonstrate a strong work ethic, integrity, and of course, professionalism, and be open to feedback, family. If your team has some feedback, the stakeholders have feedback, be willing to accept it and embrace it and see how it could fit for the project. Here are my closing remarks, family. Number one, understand the boundaries. Be careful of falling prey to being misused versus being used. Like I said, we're all going to be used in a way of we're basically, you know, playing off each other or learning from each other or using each other for particular tasks. But don't misuse me. Don't have me doing the work, all the work, and you're not pitching in, you're not collaborating. Point number two, create a sense of urgency. Like I said, this was one of those messages, meaning that when you have the ability to act now, when you're on a call and they're talking about, hey, let's set up another call, and you literally just started this call, you're like, why can't we just add this to the agenda if we have time instead of waiting to set up another call? Point number three, foster a culture of psychological safety. Listen, the more you can get your team to speak up, to ask questions, to challenge assumption, it will minimize the fear that they will have of negative consequences. Hey, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. I love delivering today's episode because, again, any project is always